Janine and Linda, thank you, thank you. Today's scripture reading, which you can see on the screen, is from Luke 22, verses 1 through 6. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Lord, help us make these words part of our understanding of the presence of evil in our world.
Don't let the devil use you. Reverend Vance Havner reminds me, the devil will let a preacher prepare a sermon if it will keep her from preparing herself. Because preaching is not just the preparation of words, but of spirit. I thank God for the word and am prepared to bear witness. And lest I be tempted to watch the clock, Reverend Havner adds, too many church services start at 11 sharp and end at 12 dull. Please do not hinder the spirit this morning. And I know that the Spirit is at work and in our midst because this sermon title was chosen months ago. And the text is taken from the lectionary, a series of readings chosen long before that by another faith community. Surely God is up to something. We've been talking about the devil and his temptations for weeks now. No horror show, no blood and guts. This serial killer who comes to steal, kill, and destroy is not scary when we have scripture. As we learn from Jesus' temptation, James, his brother, says, resist the devil and he will flee. That's Jesus calling. The writer of Hebrews says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the devil may have a silver tongue, but ours is sharper, wielding the power of life and death. Martin Luther said, all the cunning of the devil is exercised in trying to tear us away from the word. We will continue to talk about the devil and his temptation now of Judas, because poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge said, talk of the devil and his horns appear. The aim is to expose the devil as we discuss his tactics. Now then, don't let the devil ride, because he might want to drive. A familiar expression, it was a warning to us that we'd not give the devil any wiggle room. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus in his rules for the new life, so then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Eugene Peterson translates the verses this way. No more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other, after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. He continues, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge, and don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Don't let the devil in, because in the end, we will be taken for a ride. The devil doesn't want an inch. The devil wants miles. Open road and open season on the will of God. And our conception of evil is all wrong. Evil has been physically located by the socio-political construct of race, the social coloring of skin, your geographic location, because the bad people are over there in that neighborhood, and by the economic station. You're poor, so you must be wicked. But just because we possess a degree does not mean that we cannot be possessed by the devil. Satan is well-spoken, informed, and crafty in his deceit. The enemy is experienced in the ways of the world. His ways are cultured and refined. The devil, Mr. Right Now, is charming. While evil can be found in dark corners and back rooms, easily identified in mugshots and prison cells, C.S. Lewis comes closer to home and reality. He writes in the Screwtape Letters, I live in the managerial age, in a world of admin. The greatest evil is not now done in those sordid dens of crime. It is not done even in concentration camps and labor camps, and those we see its final result. But it is conceived and ordered, moved, seconded, carried, and minuted in clean, carpeted, warmed, and well-lighted offices by quiet men with white collars and cut fingernails and smooth-shaven cheeks who don't need to raise their voices. Hence, naturally enough, my symbol for hell is something like the bureaucracy of a police state or the office of a thoroughly nasty business concern. Evil can be orderly, regimented, uniform. At least that was the testimony of the man who was demon-possessed. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Legion was the name used for a Roman regiment, and in the time of Augustus consisted of 6,826 men. That is 6,100 soldiers and 726 horsemen. So he had 6,826 demons. If you needed an image, this is the one who is full of the devil. David Wong writes, "The greatest trick the devil pulled was convincing the world that there was only one of him. But there is not just one devil, at least not according to Oscar Wilde. He said, we are each our own devil, and we make this world our hell." Lest you start pointing fingers and cutting your eyes thinking I'm talking about somebody else, this message is for you. Consequently, the devil is not a stranger, someone you didn't see coming, or whom you've never met. The devil is you. But some say, better the devil you know than the one you don't. But are you really, really sure about that? There is talk of the devil in disguise. Unlike the movies, the devil is not dressed in red or red jumpsuit with a pitchfork, or the villain dressed in black. The devil blends in and is among us. The devil is not the one shouting, but the one sighing. The enemy is not waving his hands, but shaking hands. The devil betrays while smiling. Like Judas, if the devil is involved, you can be in the very presence of Jesus and be led astray. There are devils in high and holy places. Don't be fooled because we're in church. The devil doesn't take Sundays off. Rain or shine, and even in paradise, the devil is busy. Because Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and the devil still showed up. Mercy. Doesn't matter how great your testimony, your gifts and callings, the Apostle Paul still suffered from a snake bite. Jesus came to save the world, hand-picked his followers, and still his death was an inside job. And the crowd became a snake pit. Ministry has out-of-pocket costs. All who would follow Jesus will suffer the pain and the price of betrayal. There's always someone who gets close enough to Jesus to sell him out, who does not follow him out of love, who is looking for an opportunity to make a side deal and profit from his downfall. Decoy disciple Judas is on the planning committee to kill Jesus. Jesus is betrayed by a member, not betrayed by a member of the crowd, but by one closest to him. There are only 12 of them, and one of the 12 cannot be trusted. It's a small group, not a mega church. 12 disciples, and one of them is literally full of the devil, filled with the devil. They say, keep your friends close. Oh, y'all know that one, and your enemies even closer. Judas is eating and drinking, sleeping and serving, walking and witnessing the ministry of Jesus Christ, and he still wants to help kill him. Judas wants to be close, but for all the wrong reasons. Judas kept the money but was not personally invested in the gospel. And for those of us who think that you or I could have converted Judas, walking with Jesus did not change Judas's plans. Talking with Jesus did not change Judas's motives. Serving with Jesus did not change Judas's perspective. Being called by Jesus didn't stop him from plotting against Jesus. The gospel writer Luke says that the Passover was near. The approach of a holy season did not deter Judas, because the devil has no reverence for holy days, holy work, or holy people. Judas is following Jesus, but endorsed by the devil. And it doesn't even take much. 30 pieces of silver. They don't even have to show Judas the money. He doesn't even have the money yet. No Cash App, no Venmo, no Apple Pay. Judas leaves the Son of God to meet with the chief priests and officers of the temple police. Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor issues this warning, beware those who claim to know the mind of God and who are prepared to use force if necessary to make others conform. Beware those who cannot tell God's will from their own. Temple police are always a bad sign. Please don't clap. Please don't stand. Please don't sing. Please don't move. Temple police, we don't do that here. Temple police are always a bad sign. Wrap it up, Pastor. You're going too long. We need to be done by 12. Temple police are always a bad sign. Satan is always recruiting, calling secret meetings, and calling people like Judas away from Jesus. People who are short-sighted with no vision and only looking out for themselves. The scribes and priests are looking for a way to kill Jesus, and the devil has found a way in. Luke says Satan enters Judas, and now he's on the lookout, batting for the other team. He doesn't know that he's going to strike out. One writer has a word for Judas and friends. He said, I have more respect for a man who lets me know where he stands, even if he's wrong, than the one who comes up like an angel and is nothing but the devil. Judas could have left the group. Judas could have left Jesus alone. Instead, he decided to be used by the devil. Judas knew there was nothing to be proud of, but he did it anyway. He is now spying on Jesus. Afraid of the crowd, he tries to do it out of sight, avoiding the light and their piercing eyes. Cassandra Clare teaches us that the devil has no power except in the dark. Judas is trying to turn off the light of the world. An impossible mission. Doesn't he know that he is destined to fail? Doesn't Judas know that he's no one special, that the devil has been sinning from the beginning, that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, that anyone who is led by the devil is led astray? Doesn't he know that even when you work for the devil, it goes according to God's plan? That working for the devil doesn't pay and won't pan out to much? Doesn't Judas know that Jesus on the cross is mission accomplished? Doesn't he know that death can't hold him down? That he is the way, the truth, and the life? Doesn't Judas know that what the devil meant for evil, God intends for good? The devil thinks that he's hurting God, but Judas is helping Jesus. Jesus calls Judas friend, and he calls Peter the devil, because Peter talks about hindering the will of God. And we all know that it doesn't work out for Judas. He agrees to betray Jesus and afterwards dies, spills his guts in the field. So this morning's message is a warning. Peter said this, like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Don't let the devil eat you up. The devil's pickup line worked on Judas, but he is never satisfied in his relationships. He's always looking for something new. He's always hungry, always in need of a helping hand, always has a sob story about his relationship with God that he's working on, but he just needs somebody to talk to. And he could also use a ride to church. Friends, don't let the devil ride. Don't let the devil use you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yeah.